All right, everybody, welcome to another amazing episode of the XSF podcast. You got me, your host, Devonte. Host Lou was not able to join us this week, but it's all right. It's all right. We had an amazing guest on for you. My homie from way back in the day, known this man since I was about 10 years old. That's 14 years now. Give a round of applause for my homie, Thor Parrish. Thor Parrish is a coach himself. He actually is a PGA professional coach and also a PGA professional himself. Golf, right? Helps a lot of kids perfect their swings, even all the way up to the elderly. He has a really amazing coaching program going on for the golfing community, and he also trains his ass off. This man has a lot to say, all the way from the wonders of coaching to maximizing recovery. And me and him do have some different views when it comes to training, but we have a great discussion around that. So make sure you tune in right after the sponsor shout outs. Thank you to Third Lair Skate Park and Skate Shop. Y'all have been around since 1997 supporting the skate game, and we gotta thank you. Monte Coso Skateboards. Hey, you guys are out here doing the most all the time, and we see it. Thank you guys. Batch Roasting Co. Thank you for providing some of the most amazing, not some, the most amazing coffee I have ever tasted. And you guys really do hold it down when it comes to a wholesome business. So thank you there. Last but very not least, check out our man, Jetty Woodwork. He has some amazing stuff from crazy tables, crazy nightstands, to even longboards now. Make sure you go check all these people out. You know, all these businesses are smaller businesses, you could say, and they're always just giving back. So let's do them a favor and give back to them, right? All right, everybody. And real quick, before we jump into the episode, I do want to mention, hey, support us, you know? Support us. Share this. You know, if you're on iTunes, leave us a review, please. That really does help with our podcast, helps us get out there more. And if you like what we're saying and you think other people should be hearing what we have to say, then let's do it. Let's do it up. Let's bring people into this community that we are trying to build, this community of extreme humans. All right, everybody. Enjoy. All right. Today, we have a special guest, returning guest, the first guest of the XSF podcast. We got Thor Parrish in the house. You know what? This deserves a round of applause. We got to hit it off. There we go. Hey, amazing. Thor, what I'd like you to do is just go ahead and just introduce yourself to people who might not have heard your episode on number two, and just explain what you do as a coach. And then also how you've gotten to where you are right now, kind of a little backstory.
Sure. My name's Thor Parrish. I am a PGA golf professional and golf performance trainer in Naples, Florida.
Big time.
I know Devonte a lot for a long time now. We grew up in Minnesota at the skate park, and we both hung out a lot with each other at the skate park. And so when we
shout out to Third Lair, sponsor of the podcast.
When we last time I saw him was when I graduated high school and I went off to Florida for college, where I went to a school here in Naples called Florida Gulf Coast University. Mm-hmm. I went for a golf management degree. So it's a business degree specialized in the golf industry. Through that, I found a passion for teaching golf, and specifically like golf performance training, fitness, and this whole idea of longevity, like how do we play golf, not better, but play golf longer. And that really got me into where I am today, where I teach full time. I run a golf academy out of a country club here in Naples. And also helped me pursue some higher education as well. I'm getting my master's degree in exercise science online. So I'm about halfway through that. But
hell yeah.
So for the last 3 years, I've been coaching and teaching golf full time.
That's amazing. So last 3 years has been full time. How long have you been doing it in all then? Did it start right when you went to Florida, or was it like shortly after that?
No, I mean, it was always, yeah, it was shortly after I went to Florida. There's kind of a few with the school itself, there's different directions you can kind of take the program, and you can kind of specialize within an area of the golf industry. So, for example, like you can specialize in like the merchandising field, or you can specialize in club management, or you can specialize in the teaching and coaching industry. And so it was probably my second year in the program. I was a sophomore going into my junior year. I figured out like, no, I want to specialize in the teaching and coaching area. And so I started getting internships and work experience re revolved around that specific area in the golf industry.
That's so cool. That's just awesome to think like back to when we were young, like you're talking about, just at the skate park doing our thing, like skating, 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 to look where, I mean, it's like me and you are both coaches now. Like I just think it's funny like how life like works out like that, and to see like, I mean, look at your wall back there, everybody. If you're not watching on YouTube, go to the little bio down there and check out the YouTube, because he has a pretty remarkable wall of awards and things like that behind him. I've known like you've had that mentality since we were younger, and I've seen that, and I've seen that carry over into what you do with your business and stuff. And I'll make sure too, everybody, like go check out his website and everything. It'll be down in the show notes. He's definitely one of the dudes out there that I believe is really pushing out the right information while also, you know, having a good value to the content he's putting out. I love it. And so definitely
I
check what out.
appreciate it. That's my goal for sure, is just value and production and all that kind of stuff. And so I appreciate that a lot.
So when it comes to coaching, so you coach like golf and all, because I know I see the videos on Instagram of like kids doing the swings and all that. So like that's something you coach, and then do you also tag in like the fitness side of things, or is that like separate, or how do you like, I'm just curious. It sounds kind of pretty cool the
Yeah,
way you do it.
so what I really specialize in is kind of when a golfer comes to me, whether or whatever their goal is, kind of thing, I have a whole process that I go through with that golfer. And it's an assessment, basically. And the assessment involves a number of different things. It involves me taking a look at their swing. It involves me talking to them for a while. It involves a physical screen, which is called a TPI screen. So we talk about mobility and flexibility and all that kind of stuff. And also we talk about their goals related to golf as well. And that's a pretty general thing that most golf instructors would do. But where I kind of specialize is, okay, how do we create a long-term development program for you to achieve your specific goals in golf? Now, for each golfer, that looks a lot different. And so what I'm doing right now is kind of creating spaces and places where people can kind of thrive to grow and be better golfers. So, for example,
That's great.
I work with a lot of kids. And so when we do that assessment, they talk about, oh, I want to go to college golf and I want to play for my high school team, or I want to do this. So I run a golf program out of a country club that they can then participate in and get group instruction or private instruction or whatever they need, or even some small group fitness training, so we can work them towards that goal. And then for a long time, my other clients who are older, and some of them are, I mean, golf is definitely an older sport, so they're retired and they're in their later years and all that kind of stuff. And all they want to do is just be able to continue to play golf for the rest of their life. So now my next project is creating actually an indoor facility gym that is going to allow those golfers to participate in fitness programs and recovery programs, so they can continue to play golf as long as they want.
If you're a golfer, you need to go hit my man up. Dude, that's insane that you have. I love that, because obviously you've sat down with yourself for hours and had a plan going into this. Because, I mean, and stuff comes along the way, right? As you start building and stuff, I mean, you start reshaping plans and stuff. But I love that you brought up the process of things, you know, because that's how I think you can identify a really good coach. Like when you have that process, you take people through, but then you have that one thing that like really is specific to you, which you have, you know, looking at that longevity of it, whether it's they really want to make it and be a pro, or they're the older person who just wants to get better when they're playing with the nine holes. I don't know golf that well, so my bad if I'm mistaken.
You're using the right terminology. I was told from an early age in my career that I should try and specialize. If I'm going to be a teacher of golf instruction, you got to specialize.
You have to.
And so within golf, you can specialize in a lot of different things. You can specialize in, I'm going to be really good at helping people hit the golf ball far. That's what I'm going to specialize in.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to teach people how to putt really, really well. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to be really good at fitting golf clubs. So players come to me and I can get them fit to the perfect exact golf clubs and stuff. And so I was told that you should specialize early on. And my specialization was never really skill focused. Like, it wasn't, I'm going to teach you this. I mean, it is skill focused, but it's not relation to like technique. It's more about like habits and routines. So it's teaching people the right habits and routines to create performance programs and all that kind of stuff. And within that, I use a lot of other people within my program and refer them out to what they need. Like, if that's I have a person who I get, they take my evaluation, I prescribe them a practice program and a workout program. And then I say, you know what, you'd also really benefit from getting fitted with some golf clubs. You should go check out my man, Lauren, down at Naples Spring. Right. Yes. So that way I can kind of create this holistic program that hits all those different pieces, but I know my role and I know where I can't go. Like, I can't get them fitted, so I got to refer them to the right
people. Like, why? I love, so this is some valuable information for the coaches out there who are listening, because if you have that network, it one really stops you from having to try to run around a question you don't know the answer to, right? You'll see that a lot is like, somebody will get asked a question and you might try to answer it because you know about it, right? Like, obviously you're a golfer, like, you know, like, okay, yeah, I know like the size of golf clubs, but that's not my specialty. So let me not go into that. Like, I'm here to do this. Here's my guy for this. Like, that's just amazing that you have that. And that's what we have here. Like, me and Lou, we have like the Sports Cairo here in Minnesota that, we know, with skateboarding and stuff, that's kind of like where they're looking for stuff, right? They got us for the fitness side of things, you know, their training programs and stuff like that. And then boom, you have the Kairos and they're like, oh, well, I might need this and stuff. And, or physical therapy, we have a place we'll send them for that if they get injured and stuff. Cause I'm not a physical therapist. Like, I'm not going to take you right after an injury, like, or a surgery or some crazy thing. Like, that's not my job. Let me get you out to the right person. But I love that you have that. And that's insane within your industry, because you were mentioning there's so many different things that you can specialize in. So you have to have a really, really wide open network. I love, and you know, this is kind of a different way I wanted to go, but real quick, where do you think this work ethic comes? Because I know I watched your dad, right? Growing up and stuff. And I saw how you guys lived and all that. And I was like, dang, like, this is different. Like, this family like wants what they want. And like, they're really driven to do it, right? And I just was like, do you think that comes from, you know, all that, like, from when you were little and stuff? Or
100%. Growing up,
because your whole family is into this whole, like, just business side of things. Sorry not to cut you off, but just so people know, like, his whole family is into fitness and really just business and all, and being entrepreneurs. And I mean, you're on a really high level of that, so I just
growing up, my family's awesome. I love my family. Love my dad, my mom, brother, sister. I have a wife now. I got married in December. Mm-hmm. I love my wife.
Congrats.
And thanks. And and we are very disciplined. We really are. We're planners. We have high expectations of not only ourselves, but of each other too. Mm-hmm. And it just is, I mean, we're really supportive, but at the same time, like, we know what it takes to achieve those goals, and it's hard work and it's not easy, but it's a lot more easy. It's a lot easier when you have people around you doing the same thing. Right.
Yeah, so that's a huge
thing. It's easy for me to do this stuff because I look at my dad and he's doing the same things. And I look at my mom and she's doing the same things. Right. Yeah. So it's easy. And now my wife, she just left her job. And so she's going on this new adventure to go on the more entrepreneurial side and figure figure out what she wants to be doing. And so, and it's easy to do that when the people around you are also doing that. It'd be a lot harder if I was surrounded by people who weren't in that same mentality as me.
Yeah. And see, I think that's where I strive as a coach that, you know, I didn't really have that growing up. It was more like, I mean, my mom worked, don't get me wrong, she worked two jobs, keep roof over my head, and was at work all night long, you know, and got me with my grandma took care of me while she was doing that. So I did see an amazing side of that, right? But more so the entrepreneur thing, that's why I love having these conversations, because it's like I'm not really too surrounded directly, right? So like in my direct life, like now, I mean, it's cool because now, you know, my wife also is kind of doing her thing now. She started her own little business and she's doing her thing as a little entrepreneur. And it's cool to have these conversations and expand on thoughts. Because when I hear you talk, I can think back to like when we were younger and you're saying the discipline side of things, like it's been there, right? And that's a huge thing for anybody who wants to complete any goal, whether that's your fitness goal, you want to golf better, you want to skate better, or you just want to feel better on a daily basis. Like you have to realize there's things that you're going to need to do to get there. And then things you can't be doing because it's going to really hinder you from getting there. Right. And it's like, once you realize that, I think it becomes a lot, I wouldn't say easier, because I mean, getting to your goals is never easy. Right. I mean, like you're saying, you're going through a master's for right now and stuff, like that's not an easy task, but it becomes a lot more clear and tunnel vision like to get to those goals, I feel like. And I think that's a huge thing.
Well, both of us being in the fitness area, it's tough to convince people to show up every day and do a really hard workout with the mindset that it'll pay off later. Right? Like it's a lot easier because I've worked with a lot of massage therapists, and I've worked with, and even within the golf industry, where there's instant gratification with all of those things. Like if you take a golf lesson with me in 1 hour, you're going to be hitting a better golf shot, instant gratification. Or you're hurting, you go get a massage, you feel better, instant gratification. But from our standpoint, where we don't, we're not there to do the massage therapy or to do all that kind of stuff. We have to be like, okay, show up, work really hard, sweat, commit to this program, lift heavy weights. And I promise if you do this long enough, it'll pay off eventually.
Show off. Yeah.
Right. It'll show off. But that mentality is really difficult for a lot of people to get into. And I mean, I think that just speaks to where our society is at in general. Like people are looking for the shortcuts and they're looking for all that kind of thing. So that's where I said earlier, I'm trying to create space for people to want to do that. Right.
Exactly.
So with the Junior Academy,
the like-minded people,
we're creating this culture of these kids showing up and putting in the work, and they come to the group classes and they see other kids, and we're keeping them accountable and all that kind of stuff. And so with the fitness side of things, I'm trying to create the same thing with this new space I'm opening, is people want to show up, not because, I mean, the workouts have instant gratification, but it's just a space you want to be around, the people you want, like who are motivated and driven and all that kind of stuff. So because if you don't have that, it's really hard to show up every day and do the work.
I mean, the perfect example of that in the fitness industry too is like CrossFit. I mean, look how like much CrossFit, like when that kind of came around, got a lot more people into it just because it was like that space or whatever, right? And I love that you're creating that in your own vision. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's really what got me into the whole fitness side of things, was CrossFit.
Yeah, I remember, because I was gonna say that's kind of where you started off, right?
Yeah,
because I remember way back when, like when I was in the Army and stuff, and I remember seeing you start really get into it, and I was like, oh wow, like yeah, it's CrossFit. Okay, cool. Like he's moving.
Yeah,
like,
it was, that was, I drank the Kool-Aid pretty early with CrossFit. Yeah. For sure. And I still do drink the Kool-Aid. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, you're that, but you've always been that big dude though. You were kind of like, just kind of built for it, I feel like too, though, in a way.
I also
like,
think it built me too.
Yeah, yeah.
I started CrossFit when I was, I did my first like CrossFit workout. Like they have these benchmark workouts that they call the girls workout, and they name them after girls and stuff like that. So I did my first like benchmark workout when I was like 11 years old with my dad.
Oh, was it really?
And so it was before like CrossFit gyms were even open. Like my dad would like built a home gym and then would go on to CrossFit.com, look at the workout of the day, and then do the workout in his garage. And then every once in a while, I would jump in with him and do a workout and all that kind of stuff. And I definitely remember this one time we did a workout. I think it was like called Hot Shot 19, which was a memorial workout, because that's a really big thing with CrossFit, is memorial workouts and creating these workouts to remember people who have died in service or military or anything like that. And so I think this one was actually for 19 firefighters that died in a fire. I want to say it was out in Colorado or something like that.
Okay.
But I remember watching live on YouTube of all these people doing the workout, and then me and my dad watched them do it, and then we went and did it in the garage kind of thing together afterwards.
So that's amazing. You've had it then, like that streak in you for a long
time. Right. I had that in me. And so I did that early, and then we joined the gym when I was 15. And then probably since I'm 24 now, so 15 to 24, 9 years of lifting heavy 3 times a week, working out 5 times a week, and eating a ton of meat and vegetables has turned me into this big guy right here for sure. Yeah. So I do think that I grew into who I am because of CrossFit. And I'm stuck with it for life. That's for sure.
I didn't know it was that long. I didn't know it was like 11 and stuff. That's crazy. Okay. I mean, that explains it though. Cause I mean, like I said, when we were younger, you were always like the biggest dude at third our age, dude. Like, cause we're the same age. We're 24. Kids. Yeah. We're both 24. So I remember when we were like 13, bro, you were just massive compared to everybody else.
Well, you look at me and you don't think, oh, that dude skateboards. Or that dude golfs even, and, right?
Yeah, they don't. Thor would rip. Yo, I remember Thor ripping back in the day with everybody. Me, you, Jackson, Jonathan, everybody.
Ripping is I actually was at third 2 months ago. I was at third.
Oh, were you really?
I was in Minnesota for a weekend. Went to our family cabin. I got to show my wife the hometown. Awesome. And we stopped at Third Lair. I saw Emrod and... Awesome. They were doing a summer skate camp. And so I grabbed a rental board and I was in the mini room for a little while. And one of the instructors was like, "Is your name Thor?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "You were my camp counselor at skate camp when I was a kid."
Oh my gosh.
And now he's a counselor. And that's amazing. Like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, that's like full circle right there.
Yeah, dude, that was like the best part about going back and working there this summer, like doing some skate camps for them, was seeing these people that, like, I remember them being the young, like the super young kids that we're now teaching skate lesson twos, and like they're now skate instructors. Like, it's awesome. And your dad was a huge part of Third Lair. Is he still kind of like associated with them a little bit or no?
No, not anymore. So my dad became partner early.
Yeah, it was really early. I mean,
10 years ago or something, he began a partner of Third Lair. But just over the years and us moving, we've transitioned out of that. But we're still really close with...
Well, of course, it's family. I mean, that's... we're all family.
Emron and Christina come to Florida to see my parents
all the time. It's all, and they probably talk quite a bit. Like, it's all, we're all just like a big family from there. It's cool. And that's like the community we're trying to build over here, you know, and it's, you need that, you know, it's one of those things. I wouldn't say, okay, I believe as a human, like, we do strive for those communities, and like, you just got to find the one that rocks for you. Right. And it's like, once you find it, it definitely seems to help a lot of things. Sure.
Well, I always think back to my Third Lair. What really happened at Third Lair from 2000 to 2015 is we created this hotbed of people who loved skating, right? Yeah. Like, when you think about all the skaters who came out of Third Lair and that affiliation, it's like Skate Park of Tampa was before that, right? Like, Skate Park of Tampa was like it, like all the people came from Skate Park of Tampa. Yeah. And then, like, we were slowly growing. Like, we had like Jack Olson, and we had like Alec Majerez, and we had Cody Davis, and we had like all these people. And then we started the King of the Groms tour.
That's
and so now all of these people around here started coming back. I mean,
dude, I was just gonna not to cut you. Yeah, literally, all those, yeah, Jack all those Reed, kids. Like, yeah, we like literally skated with kids. Them in contests back in the day. Like, that's just saying. Like,
and so I think back to that all the time because with this junior golf academy, we have about 130 kids in our golf program. I have about 8 coaches who work for me. We age range from 3 years old to 17 years old. And I just think about third layer all the time where that's I'm great. Like, okay, like my that. Goal is to get these kids loving golf to the point that hopefully one of these kids is going to be like the Alec Majerez of golf where like yes. they get to that level kind of thing. Yes. Like that's what I'm trying to create with this junior academy is this hotbed of just like passionate golfing kids who have this so great amazing. Experience and want to take it farther. So it's really rewarding. I mean, I still run summer golf camps and I still work with kids every day and it is just, it's the best.
It really is. Yeah. And that's like, I've been even thinking on my end of like kind of expanding things in that way more, right? Where it's like, cause when I was with Third, like doing their skate camps and stuff, I mean, it was nice cause I was able to kind of integrate the XSF stuff into it, right? With my little group, take them through a little warm up, all this stuff and kind of talk to them. And there's something just really rewarding when it comes to working with kids and like you teach them to land a trick or, you know, they all of a sudden like realize like, oh, this movement feels really good and it helps me do this better. You know, you connect those dots and for any client, it's nice. And that's one of the most rewarding things for me as a coach, like working with anybody and just being able to connect that and be like, yeah, this can go here like ones and zeros, you know, like programming almost like, hey, okay, this can do this way. This can do this for you. And boom, it comes together and you see this light bulb go off. It's like, yeah, there we go. We made the connection.
Yeah, it was definitely that affiliation with Third Layer that made me realize like coaching is my thing. Like that's what I want to do.
Yeah, I think me too, dude. Like, I mean, we come literally like we come from the same thing. Like Third Layer was what it was until we just like went separate ways. Like I remember like because when did you leave for Florida again?
When I graduated
high school, right? And that's like literally right when I left for the Army. So it was like, boom. And then I think it's funny now that we're coming back and it's like, it's just, I don't know. I love it, dude. I love coming to these conversations like this.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of similarities I found between golf and skateboarding, honestly, like culturally and,
a lot of skaters golf, dude, like a lot of pro skaters actually golf. Like there's quite a few,
a lot of people golf now. I mean, it's been a really good 2 years for the golf industry. Mm-hmm. It has been just
same for skateboarding too. Yeah,
I mean, I'm not in tune as much as I was with the skate industry, but I believe for sure. I mean, I think just pastimes in general have grown a lot over this COVID response and people wanting to. I don't know, spend more time, free time, family, all that kind of stuff.
Doing different stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. No, there's definitely been that shift, that mindset.
I love that, dude. So when it comes to this place you're opening, so is that like in the process right now? So that's awesome. Yep. So people out there listening, keep on the lookout.
Yeah. I have a business partner I'm working with. So over the last 6 to 7 months, we've been working hard on finding a warehouse space that we can create a gym where we have some functional fitness area. We got like a member hangout area. And then I'm going to have my golf performance aspect of it as well. So, we're really hoping to have it built out. Well, we're hoping to get the lease signed end of next week. And then build out should be a 2-month process. And then so opening our doors by January 1st would be awesome.
There you go, dude. Hell yeah, dude. That's amazing.
It's been a crazy experience for sure. It's a lot more work than I thought. But luckily, my business partner is very, very versed in that whole area. He's opened many gyms before, sold businesses. I've learned a lot from him and I think I bring some good value to the table too, when it comes to, just some new ideas and new concepts and organizing structure. So I'm really excited for what we're able to kind of do.
Dude, that's so sick, dude. Congrats on that, man. That's so awesome. Yeah, that's just so cool.
That's really fun.
So I wanted to ask, so you brought up building a gym, and this is actually something I was going to ask at the beginning, but we got into conversation. The question was going to be, if you could build a gym and you could have really anybody come train there, right? Whether they're dead or alive, right? Three people, who would you want to come once your gym's open and stuff? Like, if you could have anybody come, who would you want to get a session in with? Got to know.
Whoa. Okay. Three people dead or alive who I would want to come use my facility. From a golf standpoint, I'd really want, I got two guys in mind. I got one guy and his name is Bryson DeChambeau, and he is a professional golfer on tour right now. Mm-hmm. And he is kind of paving the way for what lifting weights can do for golf instruction.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's kind of like the Neen Williams of golf almost. Like,
I've seen some of Neen Williams stuff and it's more like, I mean, this guy is like, over the last 5 years, I think he's put on 40 pounds and has added. So when you hit a golf ball, the driver goes a certain distance. This club goes a certain distance. Mm-hmm. On average, he's added about 40 more yards to every single one of his golf clubs. And so he's gone from, world number, like maybe top 100 mm-hmm. to now he's like top 10 every single time. And he's doing
that's
like,
sick.
There's an event going on right now called the Ryder Cup. Mm-hmm. And he legitimately, there's this hole that has this big right hand turn, which is called a dog leg. And most players go up and then over to the green over here, right? So it's this
like up an L almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he hit it 417 yards this direction over to the green. And it's just like, crazy things like that. But he's big into like,
dang, that's so
sick. He lifts heavy weights and he swings hard and he has these crazy mindset goals of like, I don't want to hit it. I want to hit it another 40 or more yards in the next 5 years kind of thing. So I really like what he's doing.
That's awesome.
Another guy.
So that's number one. So what was his name again?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau. Okay.
Another one is Scott Stallings. Mm-hmm. And he was the first golf professional that I saw train like an athlete, actually.
Okay. That's cool.
And also push the whole CrossFit, functional fitness, health and wellness. He was a golfer a few years ago who was significant. I'm not going to say significantly overweight, but he was overweight. Mm-hmm. He was having problems with his health. And I mean, he wasn't even able to like walk 18 holes without like having severe issues and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
Found fitness, found CrossFit style training, found this whole lifestyle, and now he's at a much better place. And so I really like what he's doing in the space too. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, if I had to pick one more, I mean, you can't go wrong with like Tiger Woods coming.
I was gonna say, that's like right? One of the only golfers I know.
Like everyone knows Tiger Woods.
Yeah, so. I would more so just want to like talk to him like while I was trying. You know, he'd be like one of those people. I'd just be like, I need to pick your brain apart. Like, I need to know.
Yeah, he'd be an interesting one to pick his brain for sure.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah, those would be my three.
That's awesome. That's just funny to me because I just don't know any of those people. But like, I love like when somebody's hyped on somebody, like you can see it and you can tell,
you can
like,
see it. Yeah, you can
yeah,
hear it.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, these dudes are what's up. That's cool. I'm gonna have to check those people out. That's awesome. Cause I'm an advocate for anybody who's really just trying to show people like the benefits of resistance training in anything. Right. So it's like, there's studies too to show like, hey, like this is the thing y'all need to be doing. Like whether it's, you want to lose weight, you want to perform better, you want to just feel better. Like it's where it's at. Like,
I also just like when professional athletes set these outrageous goals that are just like absurd and they hit them kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I just think like,
well, it's how you get there though. It's that mindset behind it.
It's how you get there kind of thing. And the cool thing nowadays is with the internet, you're able to see the progress being made where previously it was just like, it looked like overnight success almost. Mm-hmm.
And see, that's where I struggle with social media. Like for me, like posting and stuff, like I've always had like this disconnect of like just not wanting to be on there, but learning to use it in that realm of like, hey, look at the growth of stuff, you know? And that's, I love you brought that up because kids out there, like utilize it in that way, like utilize posting your golf swings and stuff or your skate clips, like to then look back 6 months later and be like, dang, I really have gotten this much better. Cause there's days where you're going to feel like crap in your training, or you're going to feel like you didn't skate good. You didn't feel like you played a good game of golf, whatever it may be. But then you look back and you're like, oh wow, I am farther than I was.
Yeah. Yeah, I really believe in assessing, not guessing, and that data doesn't lie.
Yeah. Right. For sure.
So if we can,
like, doing that daily.
Yeah, the more data points we can collect and information we can get, the more knowledge we can have about whatever we're trying to do, the better. Because then there's no guessing. It's just facts kind of thing.
So. That kind of comes around to that holistic side of things you were speaking on earlier, because that's something that, you know, a lot of people think of like one side of things. You know, it's like, I want to get to a weight loss goal. So it's like, okay, well, let me look at my diet, right? So they change the diet. But then like, what are other things in your life? Like there's a lot of, how much are you sleeping? You know, how much are you moving? There's a bunch of other things that go into that bucket of weight loss, right? And it's like, yeah, you could get there possibly with just that diet. But when you look at it from a holistic side of things, from anything, it, I think it does start to round out and you start to kind of plug the holes or kind of fill the cracks a little bit where deficiencies, I guess you could say, might be made. I know that's how I kind of look at it, but.
Yeah, no, there's, I was listening to someone talking on a podcast that they said that people have more success with long-term weight loss on a, when they have a specific performance goal, like I want to run a 5K or I want to do this, all that kind of stuff, rather than a weight loss goal.
Yes.
Right. And so like they found that people who are training for something and have this holistic mindset lose weight just as fast as the people who has a weight loss goal, but they hold on to it because they're not just tied on to that weight loss. They're tied on to this bigger holistic approach and lifestyle change.
What is the SMART goals, you know, like set SMART goals. You learn that as a coach pretty early on, you know, like, what is it? I think of the acronym right now. SMART goals, specific, measurable, set. Yeah, or attain. It wouldn't be attainable. Yeah,
you're right.
Attainable, timely, right? So it's like have a timeline. You gotta have all that, and it's when you have that and you look at it that way. I love you brought that up because I mean, yeah, you could want to get to this number, but then you're only focused on that number. You're not focused on like the things that are gonna get you to that number, right? And I love you brought that up.
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So we got the gym next. That's kind of what's next for you. You got the master's degree going. Training. How is training for you right now? How's stuff? Because I know me, I'm all messed up because I came off that surgery. I had that reconstructive ankle surgery, came off of that. Could have been doing a lot more. I got in my head a lot, you know, after our beloved Henry passed away and stuff that that sent me down a dark path for a little bit, just like in my own head and stuff and where I was. And mentally, I've been still trying to even like get out of that. And I know for myself, like, yeah, I would train, but I know for a fact, like I wasn't assessing things. I was just doing what I wanted to do in my training. And then that led to me kind of neglecting other things for my upper body. And then I ended up injuring my shoulder when I got back to skating and all this stuff, right? And I was just like, damn. So I'm starting to reassess things. Rewrote out my training and I'm kind of starting back from like ground zero is how I'm kind of figuring it out for myself, you know, is like, hey, let's just start back with a couple of weeks of this phase and keep going through it and just kind of committing back to that because I've been out of it. And I'm just curious, how's training looking for you? Because I see, I mean, you're still lifting some heavy weights, dog. You're putting it
everything changes like as you get older and as you like learn more and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying I'm old by any means, but when I think back to my mentality, when I first got into CrossFit, I first got into golf performance, I had this really big emphasis on intensity and this really big emphasis on working super, super hard. But now I'm in this mindset more of minimum effective dose with training.
Love you said that.
How to optimize your recovery so that you can handle more training so you can achieve your goal. So a lot of the stuff that I've been doing over this last 2 years from a personal side of things has been revolved around the recovery aspect. So one of the biggest changes is I've been using this thing called a Whoop. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before.
I want to get one of those. Yeah, I love the metrics you can get from those are amazing.
Yep. So I'm wearing it right now. I rock it. I've been rocking it for about a year now.
Because let the people know too, like, what does that thing all do? Like, what does it measure for you and stuff?
Sure. So when you think about any like fitness wearable device, the common one that everyone tracks is like steps, right? Yes. And then through steps, you can like assess, oh, basic how many calories you can burn, and you can set these goals of standing every minute, all that kind of stuff. And I had an Apple Watch and all that kind of stuff. So I was into that whole thing and tracking heart rate and all that kind of stuff. But what Whoop does is it tracks all that steps, heart rate, calories burned, all that kind of stuff. But it also tracks this thing called HRV, which is your heart rate variability. And so that's kind of the beats in between your heartbeat. And the more variability you have, the more recovered you are, is in the super simple term. Again, you could go on the website and they'll talk a lot more about it. But what they find is through stress and strain, working out, high heart rates, lots of steps, all that kind of stuff, your heart rate variability will go down. You'll have less variability in your heartbeats, and that will reflect a lower recovery. So every day I wear this piece of device. It tracks my workouts, it tracks my steps, it tracks my heart rate. I go to bed, I wake up, and then it tracks my sleep. So when I wake up, I get a recovery score. And that recovery score tells me what I am able to handle for that day from a strain or stress standpoint. So
one thing, not to kind of cut you off right there, but one thing I want to kind of say, because I know I've gotten a lot of situations where I've been talking to clients and they're like, well, isn't like it's the end all be all thing. And like, yeah, like that sounds like amazing. Do you find it being pretty cohesive with actually how you feel? Cause I know like the Fitbits and stuff, like, cause I'm sure that is pretty close, but the Fitbits and stuff, you know, just the steps and all that, when you're just seeing that side of things, there's not many metrics to go off of. Right. And I'm curious, like when you wake up and you have like maybe what's the score off of like a 0 to 10 scale or something?
It's a percentage.
Is it a percentage? So all the way to 100%. So like, let's say you wake up and it says like 50%, 65%. Like, do you feel that in yourself too? Like, when you get up and you're like, do I feel like I'm that low? Or of course it's technology. It's not going to be it can't be too specific, obviously, because you could wake up and still maybe all those metrics are there, but you're so determined. You might've had a crazy day the day before. You're like, no, I'm going to train good today, or whatever the case may be. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah. I've always had the mentality that you wake up, you go work out. That's what you do. Right? You work out every single day. That's what you do, right? And so if you're tired, still get it done, right? Whatever. That's what you do, kind of thing. And so I would wake up first wearing that Whoop and I'd have a 50% score and I'd be like, I don't know. It doesn't feel much different than an 80% score because I'm just waking up and I got to do it no matter what. So I'd still wake up and do it, all that kind of stuff. But the two biggest realizations that I had through this was not necessarily like how I felt when I woke up, because that can change drastically. I mean, you could sleep on the wrong side of the bed or anything like that, right? But I looked more about how effective my sleep was. So the first thing that I noted was that I would tend to get 8-ish hours of sleep a night, but it was really insufficient sleep. I'd have lots of disturbances. My heart rate wouldn't get low enough. I wasn't getting into REM cycles, all that kind of stuff. So I'd have this really insufficient sleep.
Restless.
I'd get my 8 hours, which everyone wants. Get your 8 hours. But I'd wake up with low scores because my sleep was terrible. And so I changed a lot of my habits and routines and stuff to optimize my sleep, because I can't get more sleep. I can't sleep 9-10 hours a day. I just don't have that time. That's not my lifestyle. So now I have to do things that I can optimize the 8 hours I do get. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that is putting my phone away, not eating super late at night. And then the second realization,
all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, the second realization was the effect that alcohol has on my body. So I made a post a few weeks ago that compared, two identical days to one another. Same amount of sleep, same workout strain, same day. The only difference was one day I drank alcohol. I had a bottle of wine. And then the other one, I didn't. And my recovery score on one day was 89%. And on the other day, it was like 52%. And it just shows the effect that alcohol has on your system. And my Whoop tracked that. I didn't put in and said, oh, I had alcohol and it shot my score down. It knew the response my body has to alcohol and brought my score down.
Because the effects it put on everything else that the Whoop is measuring. Yeah, no, that's, wow, that's awesome, dude, that you've been able to do that. That's, I'm gonna look into one of those. Because the sleep thing is a big thing.
Yeah, they're coming out with a new one too that has a lot more cool features. Like, it does like temperature checks, and it does blood oxygen level and all that kind of stuff. So mine's supposed to get here in like 5 weeks. I'm getting that new one. So
the cool thing is
it's a monthly subscription. So you don't put like this thing, this device doesn't cost anything. It's just a monthly subscription, and it comes with.
Okay, right? That's cool. Yeah, that makes it really affordable then for a lot of people. Because I was going to say, people probably are like, that's probably really expensive. And that's awesome. That's smart. That's very, very smart.
Yeah, and I think the cheapest you can get is like a 6-month subscription for like $180. Mm-hmm. And that is so worth it to... Yeah.
Well, because you're going to have it.
Just you're going to have it and all that kind of stuff. But you learn so much about yourself in that 6 months. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's worth $180 just for that 6 months, even if you never use it again after that. Mm-hmm. But it's just so different than a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or any of those other wearable ones, where this one is it's pretty crazy.
Hey, shout out to Whoop.
Shout out to Whoop.
Exactly. Now, that's cool, dude. That's awesome. I mean, and even if, like, let's say somebody can't do that, you know, a tip for people out there would be, you know, just start finding those things that you can then assess yourself, right? You know, have a journal when you wake up or something next to you and kind of write down like, okay, how do I feel this morning? Like, what do I want to get done? And then after your workout, if you do workout in the morning or whatever the case may be, write down how your workout went, write down how your weights were, track what you were doing during that workout, you know, have those things that you can look back on. Because for me, at least, right, and I think this is probably for a lot of us humans, when we don't have things to see that we're actually accomplishing things, like we're making stuff happen, it makes it hard to keep doing that day in and day out, right? Like daily when I wake up, I have a task list that I do, whether it's for XSF, whether it's for stuff around the house, for my wife, for my kids, whatever the case may be. I write down a list of things that I know I need to do, right? And on Sundays today, I always sit down and I have a whole week that I write out. I'm like, all right, cool. This is what I know I need to accomplish. Boom, boom, boom. Then every day I go over that, boom, 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 and I check stuff off. And it's like, that just helps me continue on. Cause yeah, I could still do it. Like I do it at times where I'm like, okay, yeah, I know I need to do this. I need to do this. But then also I get confused and I'm like, wait, my brain, at least the way my brain works is I'll be doing something. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do this now. And I just go do this when it's like, oh wait, I knew I had to take care of this bill thing that was a little bit more important than shooting this video right at this moment in time or whatever the case may be. And that helps me a lot. So, I mean, have something, some type of way to just track what you're doing. Cause I mean, like you said, you learn a lot about yourself there, whether it's through the Whoop, whether it's through you just doing your own kind of individual thing, but I believe it's a very strong, strong power to be able to do that. Cause it's, I mean, anything, all the stuff we say, I mean, it all boils down to like, we're all just, you're trying to help yourself, right? And it's like, that's the end goal. Like whether your goal is, like we said, to golf better, skate better, feel better, whatever, like your goal is to help yourself for what you want. And it's like, hey, have that in your mind. Be like, I really want this. So let's get after it. Let's figure out how I get there.
Yeah, and everyone gets really bogged up with like, okay, well, where do I start with that? Like, what should I do? Should I get the Fitbit? Should I get the Whoop? Do I do it on my phone? Should I get an app? Should I do my Fitness Pal? Should I not do my Fitness Pal? Should I do a journal? Like,
just do something. Just pick one.
Pick one and do it consistently. Mm-hmm. Like, consistency is far more important than the like finding the perfect thing mm-hmm. to do kind mm-hmm. of thing, right? Like. Mm-hmm. I mean, working with a lot of older people and stuff, I see guys who are in their 80s who are in great shape mm-hmm. where all they do is they golf, and then their exercise that they do is they come into the gym and they do a couple push-ups, they do a couple sit-ups, and then they crank it on the elliptical like mm-hmm. for just like 45 minutes and then they yep. leave.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is they've done that routine every day for the last 20 years, and now they're in great shape. Mm-hmm. Vice versa, I've seen people who are in their late 60s mm-hmm. who have not been consistent and are now searching for the perfect exercise routine to make up for everything that they lost. Yep. When in reality, they just need to pick one thing and just stick to it.
Like for an individual basis as coaches, like, yeah, we can write you a program that's going to be more specific to you, your body, your goals. Yes. But if you're just out there and you're trying to just get to it, like Thor said, you just got to pick that one thing. You have to, because it's like, if whether that's, you know, you just deciding to do stretching every night and you stretch every night, like that's your consistent thing. Like, just start somewhere, because it's, how else are you going to get there? I mean, it's kind of obvious. It's like, yeah, okay, we know, like, we got to start, but there's a lot of stuff out there. Like, find the thing you like and don't worry if it's like the perfect thing. And I think that's where I struggle a lot. I like that you brought that up, because I know personally for me, I have that issue where as the coach, as the one learning a lot about the body, just getting like my prescript certification, going through that intensive course, and then now getting injured and knowing so much more about the body and rewriting my own programming, being like, nah, dude, stop. Like, you just stay here, do this. You know, focus on your recovery, focus on other things, and stay consistent with that. And it always works out the best way. I mean, it's awesome.
I don't believe that you need to train for more than an hour a day.
No.
But I do believe that you need to train every day.
To some degree, you have to train. It's
every
movement.
Single day,
yeah,
but it doesn't need to be over an hour worth of training.
No,
honestly, if you're spending more than an hour, you're probably wasting a lot of your time,
or on your phone or something. I mean, unless you're like, your very specific goal is like powerlifting, and you're like going for some heavy lifts that day, and you're taking long, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, there's always those super specific ones, but for the general population, like, yeah, you just get in there and get your stuff done, get out, like.
Yeah. And I mean, even on a, for a powerlifting, I mean, like that,
you can get your stuff done and get out.
I mean, you write those programmings that have this enormous amount of volume to their lifting and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if they can, I mean, the name of the game is who can recover the fastest.
That's what Prescript, one of the owners. So, Jordan Shallow, the Muscle Dog, shout out to him. That's what he preaches all the time. Like him and Jordan Junta, one of the other guys, you might know him. He's actually pretty big in the, really big in the CrossFit world and the weightlifting world. That's what they preach, you know, like Jordan Shallow's like, he can squat, bro. I think he put up like 700 something, I believe, and stuff like, but his big thing is how well can you recover? Like, that's how his training is. Like, he doesn't have those programs where he's like, in there doing a bunch of crazy stuff. Like, you see him working on external rotation of his shoulders and all this other stuff that you don't mm-hmm. like normally see. So no, I love you said that.
A big thing with CrossFit too, is you get into these group classes that have like a very like traditional, like strength and then a Metcon afterwards kind of thing.
Yeah, yep.
And personally, like, my lifts are to a point where, I mean, like, my back squat's like 535. Like, my deadlift is like close to 600. Like these lifts, when they put percentages up there and stuff, like, oh, we're going to do 5x5 back squats and it's going to go 75, 80, 85. Like, they try and put the percentages in there, but I'm like, mm-hmm. for me to do 90% of 535, like, that's going to take me a long time to get there. Like, that's a full-blown warm-up and prep, and I got to do a bunch of warm-up sets and all this kind of stuff that I can't fit it in an hour, right? And so...
And then good luck trying to do anything the next day after that.
And then try and fit a Metcon or a cardio this kind of thing, right? And so that's where I really believe, like, if you're out there doing a strength and then a cardio and then accessory work, you're probably not spending enough time on one of those three things to actually be doing the max benefit of it, where you should be like this is the strength, so you're focused on the strength. Or if your day is about cardio or aerobic capacity or something like that, have that be the emphasis, to the point where you don't need to do all that other stuff to feel like you got a good workout in. Volume is not what you need. Volume is not what you need.
I love that you brought that up. I mean, we could do a whole nother episode on that. And I think we'll probably bring you back on now you brought that up, just because that's something that I like to talk about a lot too, is like, hey, like dial in those ones and zeros. Like, you might have to start where you have to do like a mobility and then a stability and then get to your strength stuff, just because like you don't have those prerequisites yet to just hop into the strength stuff and without getting injured, right? Of course, you've been doing this since you were 11. You can get in there and hop under a bar probably with barely any warm up and get after it, right? But that's because you've been doing it consistently. So like for those who are getting into it, you'll have to take those steps, right? But the goal is to really just be able to do the stuff, get your body prepped, and then just get to the work without having to do a bunch of other stuff, right? But you might have to connect the dots.
I do a lot of prep and stuff like that, but it's very specific to whatever that goal is.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you'll learn that along the way as you do that. Like, it has to be like, okay, if you have a squat day, right? You know, like, okay, my prep's going to be focused around the mobility and stability of my hips, the extension of the thoracic spine, all that stuff, right? And it's like,
that's back to the, it doesn't need to be more than an hour a day, but if it's not, you got to do it every single day. Because if you're trying to fit everything in three times a week, that's when you get into the volume issue. Or if you try and do minimum effective dose 1 hour a day, but you don't do it every day, now you're not getting enough, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's that fine balance between the two. But I'm a big believer minimum effective dose when it comes to programming and all that.
And the way, like, I like that you brought that up, right? Like, somebody might be like, oh, every day, like, what do you mean? It's like, but that gives you the chance to practice a movement, right? And it's like, that's what this is all about. Like, it's not like you're practicing these movements. Like, it's like you're trying to be, especially in like the performance world, like that's your goal, is to perfect the movement, right? Like the technique behind things. And when you get that daily thing, your brain is constantly being told over and over and over, I need to be better at this. I need to be better at this. I need to be better at this, because that's how your body works, right? Now, I'm not saying you can't. I mean, I get it. Like, you can do what you want with your training. But like for me, I'll have more of like a 3-day like strength training focus. But then every other day I'm doing mobility, stability work that's focused for skating and stuff. Or I'm skating on those days and doing prep work before I skate, something of that sort, right? And what I've noticed is it's helped my body be like, okay, like, yep, we're getting better at this, especially after the ankle surgery, like not moving my lower body in ways and stuff and having to almost reteach it, like, hey, this is how you externally rotate your hips and this is how this goes and all that. And it's something that you really can use quite a bit of practice in when it comes to just any movement and just perfecting that. So I love that you brought that up. That's great, man. That's great. Well, I mean, let's end it with this, right? So we talked about the three people you would want to train with, right? You are a skater. You've skated more recently, so I don't have to ask you the question if you skate. I know you skate. And I know you would skate if you had more time to skate. If you could skate with any three people, dead or alive, who would they be? Got to know before we end it.
Three skaters. I would want to skate with, I would like to skate with Sean White. I feel like he'd be a good guy to skate with for sure.
Yep.
I don't know. He just got a positive vibe, and I always followed him with snowboarding and stuff like that. And I actually remember one time because he was sponsored by Target. So he came to Minnesota and he did like a vert ramp.
Yep. Yep.
Whatever kind of thing.
I remember that.
And, and we came and watched him, and I gave him a third layer shirt, and he took it. He's like, "Oh my God, this is so cool. Like, thank you so much." And like, I was like, "Oh, that's so cool. I hope he wears it." And like 10 minutes later, he had the shirt on. And I was like, "Oh my God, that's so cool. Like, he's got the third layer shirt on. Like, that was so cool." So, I would skate with him.
Yep.
I would skate with, I'd love to skate with, I'd probably skate with him and Trog for sure.
Oh, Trog. Yeah, dude. Trog's the funnest person to skate with, I swear. He's the
funnest person to skate
with. He's fun to skate with,
dude. So much fun. I would skate with him and Trog and, God, who else would I skate with? That's a tough one. I'd probably throw Jackson in there. I don't get to skate with Jackson at
all. Yeah, get the brother going. Yeah. Yeah,
get my brother back in there. I haven't skated
with him. That's awesome, dude. That's so sick. Oh, man, I'm really happy we got into this today and we're finally able to sit down. And
for sure.
There's you got a lot of stuff coming. So one more time, let people know where they can find you, Instagram, all that stuff, and website.
Yeah. So the biggest social media platform I use is Instagram. And so it's Thor the Coach on Instagram. You can go there. I got a link in my bio that goes through a website, goes through all of the things I'm affiliated with. If you want a code so you can get a Whoop band for a discounted rate, you can do that as well and all that kind of stuff. So Thor the Coach is on Instagram is the best place to find me.
Boom. There you go. And I'll make sure everything too is in the show notes like I said earlier. But hey, with that, just know that everyone is capable of being extreme.